Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Gail Martin and Carol Kelly. Each week, the ladies will bring you gardening and planting ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies and habitats, and great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Carol Kelly.
Hello again, everyone. This week, we must think about March garden chores. If you have any birdhouses that you haven't yet cleaned out, it is definitely time for you to do so. Bluebirds, in particular, won't accept a dirty box. Be sure to wear gloves when you perform this task, and don't be surprised if a mouse that thought it was a fine winter hideaway runs up your arm. Migratory birds begin to claim territory in late winter or early spring. In most species, mature males return from their southerly wintering grounds before females and seek out places where they hope to attract a mate. According to new research published in Audubon magazine in January of last year, due to climate change, males and females are not responding in the same way to the earlier springs that we have experienced over the last few decades. The study shows that the gap between male and female arrival times has widened, something that could potentially cause what ornithologists refer to as a phenological mismatch by putting nesting activities out of sync with the arrival of new spring plant growth and insect emergence. Since birds depend upon the availability of millions of caterpillars and other larvae to feed nestlings, this has serious implications, especially since we're seeing global declines in a lot of different insect species for various reasons, primarily a result of human activity. A study in late 2018 implied that close to 40% of insect species are dying off in massive numbers. In addition to affecting the migration patterns of birds, rising temperatures have been accompanied by earlier first appearances of spring flowers, breeding frogs, and insects, to list just a few examples. By the early 2000s, long-term records showed that first flights of butterflies had advanced by as much as a month over the preceding three decades. Non-migratory birds also renew their claims on territory at this time, not only to attract their own mates and renew bonds, but also to let arriving migrants know what territory already is spoken for. Different species, of course, nest at different times, but in our area, the earliest nesting birds may already have begun as early as January to investigate potential nesting sites and birdhouses as part of claiming territory for their courtship rituals. Studies are underway to determine how the increase or decrease of synchronization between insects and their food plants and natural enemies will relate to whether and how much food is available to breeding birds. As for cleaning up the garden, the plant detritus spread across your yard, don't fret about being thought of as a lazy gardener. Gardens should be left messy in winter for wildlife. Countless arthropods, that is, insects, spiders, and other helpful critters like sow bugs, also known as roly-polies, that are all a part of your yard's ecosystem, are wintering over in the leaves and dead foliage that cover the soil. Anyway, as eager as we may be to get outside and get moving when the very welcome mild days arrive, such as those forecast for the next couple of weeks, many tasks still must be delayed. Don't walk on sodden lawns unnecessarily, and definitely do not work soggy soil. Mother Nature has not been at all consistent regarding temperature patterns lately, you may well have noticed, so although many of us are getting anxious to head out to the garden and clean things up, wait a while longer. Hopefully, you did not cut down all of your dry plant stems to the ground last fall. We are encouraged to let the garden stand all winter in order to provide seed stalks for the birds to glean from, and also let leaves lie as habitat for the many beneficial insects and other creatures I just mentioned that need to winter over in debris. Lots of insects, including pollinators like tiny native bees, and pest-munching predators like syrphid flies, lace wings, and parasitic wasps, spend the winter hunkered down in hollow plant stems, either as adults or pupae. If you were to visit the bookworm garden at the Merriam Public Library, You will see that, following the advice of the Xerces Society, we left a lot of plant stems standing over the winter. These were left with the birds in mind, since those standing stems were full of seeds, and many of those seeds have, indeed, disappeared by now. Over the next few weeks, we will be trimming the remaining stems down to about 12 to 24 inches to provide nest cavities for the variety of beneficial insects that use the garden. So, delay raking to support beneficial insects. How long? Well, you may have heard something often referred to as the 50-degree rule. It advises gardeners to wait until spring after several consecutive 50-degree Fahrenheit days to clean up again. Well, the Habitat Network, a partnership of the Nature Conservancy, the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, has promoted this idea since, in early spring, many insects still are in diapause. That's a physiological state similar to hibernation. In other words, they're still sleeping. Sometimes they wake up because the weather is warming, and sometimes they wake up because the day length increases. Ground-dwelling native bees and certain butterflies and moths overwinter as adults, and their activity is triggered by warm temperatures and lengthening days. But other insects that overwinter as larvae or as eggs require a certain number of days above a given temperature to complete their development within egg, chrysalis, or pupa, so that it can emerge as an adult. Each insect species requires its own specific temperature range to become active, and so the catch-all prediction of some magic number of days above 50 degrees does not fit all arthropods. Various species of moths, butterflies, bees, beetles, spiders, and so on have differing rates of maturation and emerge through the season. Some reach maturity in the spring, some summer, and others not until fall. One reason for this staggered emergence during the spring, summer, and fall is that the food that each particular larvae require isn't necessarily available all at the same time. For example, the beautiful fuzzy pink, yellow, and white evening primrose moth doesn't emerge as an adult until late July to mate and lay eggs. This is because its larvae require the seed pods of evening primrose, and there are no seed pods on those plants until early August. There are a number of moth species called winter moths because they don't emerge as adults until October, and then they remain active on warmer nights all winter. The same story of staggered emergence holds for native bee species as well. Some are active for only a few weeks in March, others from June through August, and others still are most active in September. When you feel you must go to rake debris off beds in which you have early blooming plants, take care not to damage their tender new foliage of bulbs or other spring ephemerals like trilliums or toothwort that may be trying to push up through sodden leaves. Of course, any native spring ephemerals are quite accustomed to a blanket of leaves in the woodlands and will be fine with them just left in place. One thing you can do now is to give a brush cut to any ornamental grasses in order to discourage rodents from nesting in them. Cut them down to 4 to 6 inches, and then use a garden rake to remove any excess debris throughout the base of the plant. If too much thatch is kept around the base, it can cause rot and dieback to occur in the center. Also, you may want to cut back the faded foliage of evergreen perennials. Old leaves of plants such as European ginger, hellebores, and epimedium soon will be replaced with fresh growth. The plant will be okay even if you don't get to this, but early flowers are better viewed without all the unsightly old foliage. Thinking of planting your seeds? Indoors is fine for many seeds now, although still too early for some if you don't have grow lights. Refer to planting guides for detailed information. Marion's last frost historically has fallen somewhere between May 21st and 31st. With climate change, however, this really is more of a ballpark figure than ever. In November of last year, the U.S. Department of Agriculture released a revised version of its plant hardiness zone map. This map has been a valuable tool for gardeners for many decades, a rough guide as to which plants are likely to thrive in a given location, to indicate when various seeds may be sown, or young plants moved from greenhouse or from under supplemental lighting and into the harsh world outside. This was the first revision of this map since 2012, but like the 2012 map, the 2023 web version has an interactive format specifically designed to be user-friendly. The 2023 map was developed using more sophisticated mapping methods to incorporate data from over 13,000 weather stations compared to the not quite 8,000 that were used for the 2012 map, so produces more accurate results. If you heard my segment 2 weeks ago when I spoke at some length about phenology and the significance of growing degree days, I reported then that on February 14th, Marion had recorded only 16 growing degree days. This week, we have reached 38, indicating that Silver Maple now is blooming. Over the next couple of weeks, judging by the long-range temperatures forecast, a wide variety of trees and shrubs will be bursting into bloom. To find the website, just Google the words Growing Degree Days Ohio. Before closing today's segment, let me just encourage everyone to check the calendar on the Marion County Library's website and plan to attend any or all 5 of the eclipse programs that are coming up in March. Ohio will not experience another total eclipse until 2099. You will want to be fully and safely prepared for this astronomical event by picking up eclipse viewing glasses at the library programs. Several of these programs are especially aimed at kids, but aren't we all kids sometimes? And while you view the calendar, note that I will be presenting a 2-session class about invasive species on the last 2 Fridays in March as part of their Adult Lifetime Learning series. You must register in person for any of the ALL classes. Some have limited space, so stop by the library soon. As Michael McCarthy says in his excellent book, The Moth Snowstorm, nature has many gifts for us, but perhaps the greatest of them all is joy. The intense delight we can take in the natural world, in its beauty, in the wonder it can offer us, the peace it can provide. Feelings stemming ultimately from our own unbreakable links to nature, which mean that we cannot be fully human if we are separate from it. This is Carol Kelly saying, my best advice this month is to make like a daffodil. Poke your head up and have a look around, but be prepared to abort the mission, perhaps several times, and maybe even get snowed on. Be ready to act when the forces are willing, but be patient, and hopefully when we meet again in 2 weeks, we really will have turned the corner to spring, and once more, color will be bursting exuberantly forth in the green outdoors.
And there's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gail, you can email it to WZMO@roadrunner.com. Thank you for listening.